Walmart gets into healthcare. Checkups for $30, teeth cleanings for $25, and meeting with a counselor for $1 a minute. Is this the future of healthcare?
Welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We provide education and information on senior care topics. Here's your host, Ryan McInniff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. My name is Ryan McInniff, and we are going to be talking about Walmart getting into healthcare. This was an article I saw probably a few months ago, and the reason, and it was kind of on the back burner to talk about, obviously with everything going on with COVID, it kind of went on the back burner, got kind of put to the bottom of the pile of things that we wanted to do and talk about. But we have been doing a lot of podcasts on COVID. It hasn't been a whole lot of great news. Nursing homes are getting beat up and taking body shots, and it feels like they're in a boxing match with Mike Tyson with one arm tied behind their back. So I felt like at this point in time, maybe we should do something that's certainly relevant to the senior care and to healthcare, but isn't necessarily as negative and is a little bit different from COVID-19. But before we get into that, I would really appreciate if you would rate us 5 stars on iTunes. It would be greatly appreciated if you listen to this podcast on any regular basis and you appreciate what we're doing. It would be greatly appreciated if you could rate us 5 stars on iTunes. With that being said, I thought that this was a good article. It comes from Bloomberg, and it talks about how now visitors in certain Walmarts can get $30 medical checkups or $25 teeth cleanings or talk about their anxieties with a counselor for $1 a minute. Prices for those services are clearly listed on bright digital billboards and cozy waiting rooms inside a new Walmart health center. Walk-ins are welcome, but most appointments are booked online beforehand. No insurance? No problem. Need a lab test on a Sunday? Sure thing. So this article reads a little bit but like a press release for it, but it's an interesting way about it, going about things. And, you know, I think that there's some really interesting aspects to doing this. You know, Walmart business-wise, I think this makes sense. I mean, in here it says that they basically have 150 million people coming through its 4,700 stores each week. Why wouldn't you try to capitalize on the healthcare market? It also, you know, pits them against CVS Healthcare, Walgreens, and even Amazon, which are trying to get in and disrupt the healthcare system. But, you know, at the same time, I think there are some issues that come with this as well, and there's some pros and cons. You know, the one biggest pro that I see that this happening, and the one thing that I think a lot of people are frustrated about with healthcare system is unnecessary spending and not really knowing what you're paying for or how much you're paying for these services. You know, when you go into an emergency room, you know, if you're having an emergency, there's no questioning about what something costs. There isn't questioning about what something costs, but, you know, a lot of times if you have insurance, it's just like, well, insurance will pay for it, yada, yada, yada. And you know, whatever the cost is, well, you know, that ends up all hurting us if we get unnecessary procedures done or testing done or whatever it might be, because there is a cost to every Advil, there is a cost to every Q-tip, and there is a cost to every X-ray that happens in a hospital or any location that has medical services. And they are going to get reimbursed for that as well as make a profit off of it. And the more we use these services, the more health insurance costs us and the more we end up spending on Medicare, Medicaid, and the more the hospital charges in general, because there are people coming in there uninsured that get services that they end up up not paying for, and the hospital has to eat those charges. So it all gets divvied out between us in these charges. But I think one of the great things that is going on with you know, the change in how things are happening business-wise is, you know, the light's the best disinfectant. You know, transparency is a very good thing in my eyes. And the fact that you can walk up to a Walmart and just like a deli counter, see the price of every single sandwich, every single service, and determine what you can afford and what you really need is a good thing. Now, obviously, that it also includes and it brings in the disappointing things where people might have to make hard choices on whether they want to get their teeth cleaned or whether they want to get a checkup. You know, I understand that, but I think those choices are already being made on a day-to-day basis. At least Walmart's being open and honest about what those are going to cost. Now, you know, the irony of all of this is that Walmart isn't exactly known for being the healthiest place in the world. They've been they sell cigarettes, they sell guns, they sell a lot of foods that are the reason for chronic diseases. They are known for having really inexpensive goods and having, you know, their super centers. And so it's, you know, a bit ironic that they're selling all these things that can make somebody very unhealthy, but then at the same time asking you to come back and provide their health care. The other thing that is kind of ironic about this is that I know that, you know, Walmart has been criticized in the past with not providing very good health care or avoiding paying health care for many of their employees. They'll hire people up to 31 hours a week, but not hit that 32nd hour, so they're not considered full-time, so they don't get the benefits of a full-time worker that would then be eligible to getting health insurance. Or they pay so little for health insurance that they end up, most of their employees or many of their employees end up on Medicaid or getting assistance from the government in some way. An interesting part of this article is is about who's going to be running this. And his name is Sean Slovensky. The man responsible for determining that is Sean Slovensky, Walmart's president of U.S. Health and Wellness, who joined the retailer in 2018 after stints with insurer Humana Inc., where he oversaw innovation and healthcare joint venture between Intel Corp. and General Electric. Now he is in charge of a $36 billion division that already fills upwards to 400 million prescriptions annually and operates 3,000 vision centers. So, you know, this is a long time coming. Walmart, it says, opened up its first pharmacy in 1978, but it's one of those things where it's taken a while to catch on. You know, it's when you're going to disrupt an industry, it takes a while to do this. They tried doing this before, as it goes through in this article, where people had sore throats and they were trying to provide some care at a care clinic. But when those were opened up, they weren't really making a whole lot of money. And on top of that, they were kind of afterthoughts. They were put into a part of the store that was kind of out of the way. They weren't really advertised that much, and so they weren't making a whole lot of money. And the American Medical Association even was arguing that they were delivering subpar services, which obviously isn't a good thing. So now what they've done is they've opened up two health centers are in Georgia since last summer, and they are a big leap forward. Rather than tucked in the corner of a cavernous supercenter, they have separate entrances visible from the parking lot. They're run by doctors with plenty of exam rooms to support a steady stream of patients. Paperwork is almost non-existent because many appointments don't involve insurance, and administrative functions such as scheduling and billing have been outsourced to a back office specialist called Zotec. Walmart accepts insurance, but patients are often better off paying the flat cash fee because they don't have to pitch in for co-payments or satisfy plan deductibles. I think, you know, this makes a lot of sense. And we've been seeing this even in New England, where there has been a explosion of urgent cares that have come out, whether it's, you know, care wells being attached to a Walgreens. CVS has their MinuteClinics. You now have a company called AFC Urgent Care that's everywhere. Partners Healthcare, which is the biggest hospital company in the state, has Partners Healthcare Urgent Cares, and their thing is, hey, if you're coming to our hospital, go to our urgent cares, and it will be seamless because we'll already have your records, we'll already have your information, so you can just pop right in and get whatever needs to be done. And so there is a big push to do this and to take up part of that market where, you know, we have been generally used to your family physician and making an appointment, and within 2 or 3 days you get to go there and you get to talk about your cough or whatever is ailing you, and then they try to make a referral or they give you a prescription for whatever you need. But nowadays, I think, you know, with the way that our country is and our culture of our country, we want immediate service as quickly as possible, and we don't want to wait. And these minute clinics, for lack of a better word, or these urgent cares, are what people are looking for, and that's why they're becoming so popular. Additionally, you know, you don't need a huge hospital to service a smaller population. So if you are in the suburb somewhere and you're further away from a hospital than you'd rather be, right? Maybe you're 50 miles away from a hospital. Well, people don't need to go to the hospital all the time. Obviously, if you have an emergency, that's a major problem. But for the most part, people need to go see somebody and get something checked up on. And then they can make the decision on where to go from there. And these urgent cares are much smaller, they're much cheaper, they're staffed with less people. And because of that, they're becoming a very, very easy way to open up and then be able to service a smaller population and still be able to make money. I think one of the things that we're also seeing is that, you know, when Walmart was trying to do this, they were providing some, you know, flu shots, they were working with, you know, boosting their sales of prescriptions and over-the-counter drugs. It was kind of, you know, hey, how can we make this work? But now with the investment that we're seeing with a lot of these urgent cares, and including with what Walmart's going to be doing, you can get medical, you can get dental, at Walmart you can get eye care, you can also at urgent cares get x-rays and hearing checks, diagnostic lab tests, which Walmart can do as well, you know, things like blood glucose and lipids. So you're really having a situation where you can get a lot more services done at an urgent care or at one of these Walmart urgent cares much faster than you normally would, with a lot less headaches. And the other thing that, in bringing this back to senior care and why I think this is going to be very positive, is that, you know, right now you're seeing a disease that's going through with COVID-19 that, you know, affects the elderly, affects people with comorbidities, and it affects overweight people far more than it does younger people who are in shape, who don't have comorbidities and chronic diseases. And so when you go to a hospital, in general, let alone when there's a disease like COVID around, you have a much higher risk of waiting there for hours and getting sick from being in the hospital, because you're in a waiting room with a bunch of sick people. And unless you have an urgent need, like a major artery has been cut and you need to go into surgery immediately to save your life, the likelihood is that you can be waiting hours and hours and hours to see a doctor for just a few minutes, and then you're done. So when you're talking about seniors, or you're talking about anybody really, but seniors, it's a big thing as well, is that who wants to be in a hospital for 4 or 5 hours to see a doctor for 20 minutes? And I know that I certainly wouldn't, and I don't think anybody would. It's a waste of time. And in a world where their time is money and people have to work and people have obligations with kids and family and all of those things, it is far easier to go to a urgent care, and that's where Walmart is really going to be investing things. So obviously part of the reason for this is that they have so much foot traffic, the people are already coming in. And so if they already have those people shopping at their stores for their food, for their toiletries, and for their everyday needs like clothing and knickknacks and dishes and all of those things that you can get at a Walmart. So now those people are going to sit there and say, hey, listen, I can go and get my health care done as well. Or on the other side, they're looking at is all the people that aren't at a Walmart, going to a Walmart, are now going to go to the Walmart for the health care that they can get. And since they're already there, they can fill their prescription. And then, hey, maybe I need to get milk and eggs and bread. And so they hop onto the grocery side and then they start getting into and being drawn into the Walmart ecosystem. And so once you start breaking those habits of what people are used to doing, and then you make new habits by saying, hey, you know, every week I got to go pick up my prescription. I can get a quick doctor's check if I need it. And then I can get my clothes and I can get my knickknacks and I can get my toiletries and I can get my groceries all in one shot instead of going to two or three different stores. Well, that's pretty convenient. It saves time. And now you're changing people's habits, which is exactly what they're trying to do. And they're trying to do that, obviously, to make more money, but at the same time, they're also able to reduce those costs of what it's other people are charging for those healthcare services. And so, you know, right now they're estimating that they can lower the cost of delivering services by 40% because of all the quote unquote administrative baloney. One thing that I think that we need to recognize as well, though, with Walmart is that their job is lowering costs. And there's ways that grocery stores and retailers lower cost, and it's providing, you know, less quality goods. So, you know, if you go to a Whole Foods, for example, versus a Walmart, there's a massive difference in the cost of that. Well, it's a difference in organic versus non-organic, and there's also a difference on how long they let that food sit out on the shelf. So in Whole Foods, maybe a tomato is only allowed to sit on a shelf for 2 days or 3 days. Well, in a Walmart, it's allowed to sit on a shelf for 7 days. Well, if you're not throwing out tons and tons of food, well, and you're selling that food because it's sitting out on a shelf longer, that's obviously lowering the costs for you, and you can pass those lowered costs on to your shoppers. And so those are some of the ways that they offer lower costs. It's the same thing with their clothing. They offer a lower quality of clothing that may not last as long, but it lasts long enough. And so when you're in healthcare, certainly administrative costs are helpful, and they're trying to get people to pay cash so that way there isn't a whole lot of paperwork and admin on the back end to get reimbursed through insurance, which is certainly a big cost savings. But the other cost savings that they're going to have is they're going to be saving cost in staff. So what you're going to be giving up by going to most urgent cares, but not all of them, is that there's probably going to be staff turnover because they're not going to pay as much, or they're going to be looking to hire entry-level workers. Maybe there will be one well-paid doctor that's there, but then the nurses or the staff that's under the doctor is paid much lower than what the normal rate would be because they're getting people right out of college that need a job immediately, and then it's a stepping stone to go somewhere else. So you might see much more turnover, or you just might have less experienced people providing that care. I don't want to say that's absolutely guaranteed, but it's another way that they may try to reduce those costs, is because, you know, as we've talked about in the service industry, you know, there's ways you can reduce cost, and one of the biggest ways is your staffing cost, how much you're paying people. It's the very reason why Walmart's paying people minimum wage or just over minimum wage rather than paying people $18 an hour or $20 an hour. The reason being is that they've calculated it's cheaper to have a higher turnover and to have to train people on more often than it is to pay people $18 or $20 an hour and then pay them benefits and then, of course, have somebody there long term. They've done those calculations and they've made those decisions on it. So there are certainly pros and cons that come to this, but I think at the end of the day, people are going to appreciate being able to see a cost for how much it is to get the services they're looking for, and they see, all right, well, I can get my teeth cleaned and I can get a checkup from a doctor. Well, I think there's going to be an idea that, well, a doctor's a doctor. Well, you know, that's not always the case. There are good doctors and there are bad doctors. Just like in any profession, there are some that are better than others. And so I think the big question you're going to ask is what type of quality services and care are you getting from these minute clinics? Because, you know, as more and more of them pop up, that means there are more people needed to staff that. So hopefully it drives up the supply and demand and these individuals get paid more money. But Walmart's done a really good job, and for, you know, 30, 40 years, however long they've been in business, they've done, their whole business model has been able to provide the lowest possible cost for things. And pass that on to their customers. So it makes me question how good the quality of care is going to be in these Walmarts. But maybe I could be wrong. So, you know, at the end of the day, it will be interesting to see how this works out, and it will be interesting to see, you know, if this ends up taking off. I'm sure with COVID-19, since this article was a bit older, I'm sure with COVID-19, some of this stuff has been put on hold only because, you know, you don't have really open. I guess Walmart is essential, which is good for Walmart, but that doesn't mean lots of people are going in there. I'm sure 150 million people are not going into Walmarts weekly now. I'm sure that's down significantly. You know, maybe people are using more online, and that's why their revenues are up, or more people are going to Walmart for their grocery stores. But how much investment right now is going to be made into that sector of things? Maybe they keep going because they're so cash rich and they can weather the storm. Maybe not. But I think that's going to be the future of what we're going to see in a lot of these Walmarts, CVS's, Walgreens. They're going to gobble up a lot of pharmacies and a lot of competitors. There's going to be mergers and acquisitions over the next year and a half. The big ones are going to get bigger, and they're going to open up more services to obviously take a bigger share of the market. So if you want to check that out, it's on Bloomberg, and the article is Checkup for 30, Teeth Cleaning for 25, Walmart Gets into Healthcare, and it is written by Matthew Boyle. With that being said, thank you so very much for listening to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. And please, if you don't mind, going over to iTunes and giving us a 5-star rating would be greatly appreciated. And I wish you and your family health and safety, and we will catch you on the next one.